Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for July 16th, 2023.
Karen Eileen
is a cash flow cat. She's a performer, but she also does coaching and teaching and speaking and everything on the side. Victories. Ugh, I love the victories. I love them.
Okay, good.
She wrote, "I'm feeling crappy emotionally, but taking action anyway." That's huge. That's huge. Yeah, thank muscles. You. 100% building muscles. Yep. And you're inching towards making your first tier goal, first phase goal. Yes, love it. Nice. Of covering the bills every month. Not quite there yet, but inching closer.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Ugh.
You're on a new track.
I want it to feel better. And I understand that I hear everybody's voice in my head. It's like, I'd love to get to the place where I'm like, yay me. And I'm like, right now it just feels like I'm slogging through oatmeal. That's what it feels like a little bit. So
yes. So what you can do during the oatmeal slog, everyone who's ever tried anything entrepreneurial or creative has been there, is just keep speaking kindly to yourself of like, well, I'm glad I'm slogging and not just standing in the oatmeal. But when I first met you, you weren't even in the oatmeal.
No, so I didn't want
to. To me, I'm seeing a person who got in the oatmeal, then didn't just stand there, started moving forward. And to me, that's huge. So
gonna have to have, you know, AI, the GPT thing, build me an image of me slogging through oatmeal or something to put up in the office. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you have questions.
Two, if we can get to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to do the second one first. So this is what you wrote. The coaching I am doing, the voiceover coaching, I tell this company what my schedule is. Coaching for them is $41 an hour. Yeah. Students log into a pooled calendar and pick one or like whoever, what of the coaches listed. You're one of those coaches. Yep. There's three of them. You can't control if a student chooses you. So the weekly client load is very unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
You don't control how many people come into the funnel and you don't control how many people pick you.
Correct. I can limit it, but I'm taking those limits off. Yeah.
Right. And so you're wondering, how do you set up your weekly schedule so there's a balance? Your goal at the moment would be 12 sessions per week while you're looking for full-time work at an even higher pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're wondering, like, right now you're doing three long days per week. Your schedule is like, hey, you can schedule me from 12 noon to midnight.
Anytime.
Breaks between for food, 15 to 30 minutes between sessions, and then one short day per week. And the admin that you have to do for each hour of coaching is done on your time. You don't get paid for that. And it takes about 15 minutes.
Correct.
So this, which means you get paid a little bit less.
It's 30 something. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, I got
I'm
you.
I'm just saying that for everyone to realize if there's admin you do outside of the hour someone's paying for you, they're paying you less per hour.
Totally got it. Mm-hmm.
And that I'm not like wagging a finger. I'm just.
No. I just, when I figured that out, I was like, oh, I'm not making 40. Like 41 somehow sounded like a good bottom of the barrel number. Like I don't want to go below that. I'm like, oh, I'm below that. So.
Yeah. Okay, so you're wondering, is three long days and one short day good? Should I open my schedule for 5 days a week, 4 days back to back, every other one but shorter? So there's two options. And this is such a good question because it will apply to other people in other situations as well.
Okay, good.
You kind of have this choice. You have a choice when you're, because there is no perfect formula. I'm like, oh, Karen, if you do this schedule per week, the people will flood in and your schedule will fill. We have there's no way anybody can predict that.
Okay.
You can always take a look at like the market, the time zones, take that all into consideration.
Oh.
Still, you know, so you want to accommodate East Coast and West Coast.
Yeah.
You know, which you have.
I have, yeah.
But really, 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 it kind of comes down to do you want to contort your yourself to fit into life, or do you want to contort life to make it fit for you?
Well, for sure the latter, but I don't know how to do that with this particular setup.
Well, what it is, if you choose, like, I would prefer to make life bend to me rather than me bend to life. Now,
yes.
I want to say for everyone listening, there are times when we are in positions where it's like, I shall bend for life. I will do.
I feel like I'm temporarily there. I'm like, the cash has to come in. So I'm going to do some back bends. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But since you're also dealing with something that's so unpredictable, I mean, it'd be very different if you're like, oh, I got this job that's literally next door, but they want me to work nights. And I kind of wouldn't want to work. I'm like, it's next door.
Suck
and
it up.
Pay you work nights. That's called bending towards life.
Okay. Got it.
But in this situation, it's like, well, there's factors you can take into consideration, but because you have no knowledge of the magic formula, you might as well make life bend towards what would work best for you, because then at least it's not a burden and it's not sucking you dry, and you have a little more time and energy to put towards the other things you're working on.
I like it.
So then the question is, what would make you happy as far as schedules? Do you like the 3 long days and the 1 short day? Like, what?
Oh, so here's the bratty 6-year-old answer. That makes me happy is to win the lottery and not have to do any of this right now. So, okay. So the adult answer.
We have heard her. Yes.
She's very, very large and in charge. We need her because she controls the fun and the play. She's good. So I'm hearing your voice in my head. I'm literally 3 weeks into this new schedule. It was okay until this last week when some life stuff came up. My family required my presence. So several of my down days were not down days, and I had a full on meltdown this morning because I worked before this Zoom we're having, and I'm going to work after. So this is Sunday's one of my long work days. So I just literally had an hour long sob fest. I'm like, okay. So if life happens with this schedule, it doesn't feel very good. If life is calm, it feels very good. So it's a little too, so there needs to be something adjusted. And I feel like I'm guessing.
So you are, and I'm just going to say this just so people have just a smidgen of context.
I understand what's happening.
Karen is having some tangential caregiving for her family situation. So, you know, one thing I can tell you about caregiving is it's very unpredictable.
Yes.
And things come up and fires have to be dealt with. So here's the thing. You want 12 sessions a week.
Yeah.
But we have no way to guarantee or make that happen.
Oh, God.
So what we could make not happen are major meltdowns because of the tightness and the workload. So maybe in this period of your life, you have to go, here's the open windows I can give. And then maybe it's not the full day.
Yeah.
In case something happens in the day. Maybe it's just like, I'm gonna open my lottery tickets to possibly get clients on these windows. And then I'm just gonna leave that up to the universe, and I'm gonna go work on getting steadier work.
Here's what my brain is chewing on. I'm hearing everything you're saying.
Yep.
So my brain is chewing on, well, do I want to do the experiment for a week of like opening up my entire schedule 7 days a week? I can tell them I must have an hour in between sessions. I can say anything I want, 2 hours in between sessions. Mm-hmm. I open up the entire week and see who books when, and does that impact something? But like, it's so, I'm trying to figure out a way to make it more predictable or to discern what would get me more clients. And maybe that's a fool's errand. But I haven't done the experiment of like, for this 1 week, I'm going to be like,
well, I can tell you that a week isn't going to give you the data.
Oh,
because what happens in 1 week doesn't show you what is going to happen the next week.
So that does that sound like a not lovely idea? Like, what if I do it for a month? I'm like, I'm gonna
Yeah,
open up everything.
you could do it for a month and see if you see any pattern of like, oh, it seems the majority of people book on these days or book kind of during this time frame,
I see.
like the morning. Let's just say after 4 weeks, it was like most everybody that I worked with. So maybe I just need to open the morning
Yeah,
and that'll
okay.
capture the most little fish.
Oh.
I put my nets in the morning. So the I'm wondering if you opened up your full schedule, what's the downside to that?
Can't plan anything. I mean, like I blocked off like this time. Like there's certain times I can be like I'm not available from 7 to 8:30 Eastern time on Sunday night, this Sunday night. So I can choose not to say I'm not available in these hours. What is the downside?
How, let me ask you, how far in advance can people book with you? Could they book like in the next 10 minutes and
So
like,
here's
can they book?
that's a good great question, and I meant to include that. There's a 48-hour buffer.
Oh,
So
okay.
tonight at midnight, I will, nobody else can book with me for Wednesday because that day's
Right.
locked. 48 hours. Yeah.
So by tonight, you would know how many people you have for Monday and Tuesday.
Correct. Or if I have nobody, I can be like, oh, I'm going to take that day and make those my weekend. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, like,
I
okay.
don't, I'm
So,
not giving myself 2 days in a row off. I don't know if that's like a fun construct. The idea of a weekend, is it important to have 48 hours together? Like, I don't
I
know.
don't know. I've had many, many schedules over the whole course of my life. Right now, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, you know, you do what you need. You do what
All
you
right.
need to do, and you do what you need to do for your mental health.
Yes.
I'm just,
Yes.
so tell me if we opened up your complete schedule.
7 days just to
Like, how
see.
many people on average are you getting a week?
Well, like I said, it's new, so it's going up a little bit every week. So, this coming week, this week coming up is the first week that I will have 12 people. So, I've been doing this for 3 weeks, and so I've hit 12 for next week, but I don't have anything booked for the week after yet, one or two here and there, but people tend to book last minute. So,
And when you hit 12 for a week, can you shut that week?
I
Can
can
you
tell the
close that week?
system no more than 12. I can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what if the experiment was you open your schedule all day, every day, 6 days a week,
Okay.
and then you sort of see what happens. And once you get 12 in a week, you shut that week off. So you don't get more than 12. And then see if that allows
Where are
you to
people?
do the other things you need to do during the
Okay.
week.
And a third, just 30 days seems reasonable. Like if I did this experiment for the month of August, I mean, I guess a 30-day sample. I mean,
I mean, yeah, 2 months
okay.
is better. I have a
Oh,
feeling
okay.
though. I have a feeling, unless you started to get regular clients who was like, I always do Thursdays at 2 p.m., the data is just going to be all over the place because people are
Oh.
responding to the variable of their auditions and stuff. It's like
Yes, of
this
course.
is a variable on top of a variable on top of a variable.
Oh,
So
God, I'm
I
so.
actually don't think there's going to be data.
Oh, you don't think there's gonna be data? Well, maybe it's not a worthwhile experiment. I'm trying to suss that out. That's kind of why I wanted to bring it to you. Like
You can do the experiment of let me do a month of
30
seeing
days.
how I can handle
Yeah.
opening my schedule up wide, and then
12
just closing it once I get 12 for a week.
humans. Okay. Oh, makes me nervous. Okay, I'm willing to do it, and I at the moment, because I'm still like getting used to coaching 12 humans a week and doing everything else, it doesn't feel like there's any bandwidth for let me write my resumes for these full-time jobs. Let me go on Indeed. Let me do the research. Like the energy to do the research for the higher paying full-time gig isn't available yet.
Is 12 too many?
It's what I need. It's what I need to be at stage one of covering my bills. Like if I can figure out some other hustle that gets me there, or if I book a giant voiceover job, then all bets are off. But without the gig, without the performing gigs coming in, just as a baseline, it's what I need. It's phase one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the problem occurs when like six people book in one day.
That's a little bit of a problem unless I have the next day off. Like if I have six people in a day and I have the next day off and I literally can rest, I can handle it. But if I do six people in a day and then a family thing happens, I'm a hot mess because I have no rest, I'm exhausted, and then I go right back into a 12-hour day. So it works sometimes. But it's as you're talking, this is so helpful to me, Christine, because we talk about how unpredictable non-traditional earning is and acting is, and my side hustle at the moment is super unpredictable. My family situation is super unpredictable. We're on strike, all that's super unpredictable. So there's really nowhere other than me going, yes, no, to the unpredictability, where there's anything that I have control over. So,
Let me ask you another question.
yes, please.
What if you just said, I have 5 hours, 7 days a week, all in the morning?
I could try that.
Because then you
Yeah.
would know for sure the afternoons were available for everything else. And then you would just be the coach that people would take if they could fit it in those hours.
And see how many students that is really. I mean, we won't know. Okay.
Because
Interesting. Okay.
I sort of feel like that is what's going to keep you from feeling so melted down, because you won't get those full days.
Got you.
And it's
Okay.
like you'll know there's either going to be people there, and
Okay.
the idea that, well, if I have a bigger net, I'll catch more fish. We don't know if that's true.
We
You
don't.
might catch too many fish in one day. Another way you could do it is open your schedule 6 days a week, entirely open, but then you monitor. You shut a week down when there's 12 in a week, and you shut a day down once there's two or three in a day. So you could do it that way too. And that would be the way where you would try to catch the most fish, because you'd be using the biggest net of like, here's my schedule, but you'd be shutting days down once they hit the maximum that you decide, which is either two or three.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
So that might be an interesting place to start.
That is interesting. I bet for some reason that feels nice to try.
So you will never have a day. You can have your schedule completely open, and you'll never have a day with more than, what would you say, two or three?
I can handle three if they're
Okay,
spaced
then
out.
three. Then that's the max. I don't even know if they maybe have a setting where once there's three appointments.
There is a setting to shut it down per day. I'll have to ask the admin if I can shut it down per week or per month. I think it's per day, but I'll find
Yeah,
out.
but per day, if it would just
Just to
automatically
three.
stop
Stop people at
scheduling
three.
when there's three appointments, then that you don't have to deal with that. You just have to deal with the week.
Got it. Okay.
Try that.
Okay. Okay. And just trust that I'll have more bandwidth as I go forward here. I'm just trusting that
Well, you're
because
only going to have three people a day, and you're only going to
Oh
have
yes,
12
thank you.
clients a week,
There is
max.
part of me, and this is insane, I would never do this, but there's a part of me that's like, I just want to coach 12 sessions in a day and have the rest of my week. But I think I would be in bed for 2 days. But
See, I couldn't coach 12
I don't think
sessions
anybody can, I don't,
a
but I'm like, or maybe 2 days, two really big days, but I can't
You
make that
can't with your
happen.
family life.
I can't with my
You
family
can't.
life.
You're not living in a vacuum.
Yes, I'm not. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, really
And by
good
the way,
questions.
there's different things in people's lives that come into play about like you're not living in a vacuum. I'm of the age with hormones and that disrupt sleep and everything. It's like I could have stuff scheduled for a day and not sleep the night before. And if I had overscheduled my day, I wouldn't be able to do it. So you really have to look, and when I was caregiving, like it's like you really have to look at the reality of your life and go, what do I need to function? Because the way you get more clients is by doing a really great job with them. And are you these are people with auditions that are coming to you for coaching. Like, why are they coming for
This,
coaching?
so this is a giant voiceover company that I work for as a contractor. So these people have bought services with them, and I do, because it's my favorite, I do tech. So I'm all voiceover tech all the time. I feel like that's my superpower, and I love it. I have not put out an offer to my list about coaching, which I'm thinking of doing, because I can very authentically charge $75 an hour is a super low, awesome price for an hour of coaching, especially during the strike. And so I feel like I'm going to put out an offer to my humans. I was focusing on getting this company thing working right. So,
What kind of, I'm going into the marketing because I want to see if there's a little opportunity. So when, what are people coming to you with problems for? Like what?
So my job, and I do this for lots of different companies and my private clients, my job is to help them set up their equipment in their home and calibrate a broadcast quality industry standard studio. So they know how to create industry standard meeting files from their home studio. So there's certain metrics to meet and there's effects to teach them and stacks and programs to run. And that's what I do.
Okay. So when, this is what I want you to start looking for. When people come to you through this company, they've scheduled an hour with you.
Correct.
They bring you a problem.
Yes.
Do they write out all their problems before, or is it part just part of the coaching session where you're meeting?
No, there's a pretty set curriculum. There's things the company wants me to get them to understand and know how to do. Okay. So that's what I do with them. But it's all, I teach it differently, but what they're teaching is solid. Like they're giving them the good stuff.
But each of these people are, they're just booking time. They're not paying you separately for this service. Like
no, it's included in the package that they purchase.
Okay.
They get sort of, it's called, you know, technique coaching or storytelling coaching, and they get home studio support basically.
Okay. So here's the thing. If I were in your shoes.
Yes.
And let's say Susan booked an hour with me.
Yeah.
So Susan's part of this whole thing. She gets hours with coaches like me.
Yeah.
What I want though, I want Susan to always pick me. I want Susan to feel like I'm the one she wants all of this information from.
So here's the, and it's, I apologize if I didn't give you full information. Okay. So the limit, so certain programs, they only get an hour and then 30 minutes with me. So it's limited. So I see them for 90 minutes and then I never see them again. Or I see them for 3 hours and then I never see them again.
Okay.
So it's
still though.
Like a tech hit and run, but I give them as much as I can. Yeah.
Here's what I would be doing. Here's what I'd be trying to do.
Okay. Yes. I'm listening.
Is I see. So they have all of these students and they're like, you get an hour with Karen.
Yeah.
Eileen. And
book
then
that, book that now. Like their coach will say to them, go book with her because you need to learn how to. Yeah.
Right. But you're not controlling like the time it takes them to go through this course and when.
No.
So you're just waiting around going, who's ready to do their tech?
Correct. Session? Who wants to do tech? Yeah.
So when Susan shows up and like, I'm ready for my tech session, you go, great. I would want to know. I would want to know all the issues that she had. Like, what are you trying to do with voiceover? What is your tech situation? Because I know that you're going to try to give her a lot of information in that hour and a half or whatever, but I would think that that's not going to cut it.
It's not enough this company is very wonderful, but between you and me and the lamppost, it's an hour and a half is not
right. So that's your marketing opportunity. Okay, Susan. So here's the thing. You've done this and this and this. I want you to do these three things because that is going to help. And I want you to email me here's my email address. I want you to email me when you've done those things so we can like celebrate.
Yeah.
But after those three things, there's this. And there's this, and there's this. I'm totally happy to help you with this program. That time isn't included, but you can totally, we can work on this outside of the program. It's what I do with my clients all the time.
Okay. So here's where I need your help. So the company will pretty much fire me if they find out I've been poaching clients. So they're like,
you're not poaching clients. Where is Susan supposed to get her tech help if she only has an hour with you?
They don't want, it's really an interesting setup, Christine Aller.
Okay. So is Susan allowed to email you separately or does she have to go through the,
I can give that out. Okay. Yeah.
Then there's what I would do. Okay. Is I would say, I want you to, when you've done with these things, I want you to email me.
Okay.
Now, some people will, some people won't, but let's say Susan does. Okay. Then you're able to be like, Susan, you're amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm here if you need me. I'm going to put you on my list. If you have a little freebie to send her about something.
Can I send her a gift from my email list? Do you think that's like company naughtiness? It's like,
okay. First of all, you have to read your contract.
I will read
and make sure you haven't, they have like, what is their language? What do they mean? How do they define poaching?
Okay. I'll read it.
Because what I'm thinking is like, if Susan likes you and digs you, then Susan is,
she should be free to
free to hire you if she should so desire.
They offer additional coaching, but of course they want her to pay them. And then she gets to contract with me. So I get a portion of what she pays to the company.
Well, great. Then do it that way. Then be like, okay. But what I'm saying to you is that if there's any opportunity and if there's an opportunity in the company to have her pay you more in the company.
Yeah, no. So it's, and again, this is the company construct and they've been very good to me because I get the opportunity to do all this work.
Trying to see if there's any way.
So these are not the right numbers, but let's say an additional hour of coaching costs $100. They take that $100 and pay the coaches 25. So I still get they would take the money and pay me the same 41. So I don't get any more money for the hour. They get more money because she bought an extra thing of time.
You don't want to encourage people to do that because $25 an hour is but here I want you to look at your contract.
Okay.
And I want you to see what the language is.
Okay.
Because here's my question.
Like non-compete,
But not just non-compete, what is that? What are they defining that as?
Okay.
Because my question is, when is Susan no longer their client?
Okay.
Is she their client forever and she can never hire another voiceover coach in her life? Like, what's the deal? Or does she have to finish their program? Is it a 12-week program? And once she spit out at the end?
Yeah.
Because if you can get Susan on your mailing list, then maybe 2 years, Susan will pay you $75.
I got it. Okay. That's good. You know, CEO of me incorporated. I should know what my contract says anyway. Yeah. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. I'll do that.
If you're unclear, go to one of those lawyer things where you can talk lawyer for the arts, free lawyers to be like, what does this contract say?
Okay.
Let me know that Susan is no longer under their umbrella.
Oh, that's great.
So what is this program? Is it a 6-month program, a 12-week program?
There's a million choices. So they're different lengths. But after the program, they give them marketing and they give them this and that, the other, they give them the whole thing.
But you can't just say she's my client forever and ever.
I know that doesn't, if you're saying that, it just seems completely unreasonable. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this part of our discussion, it's not necessary for you to do. I just want to see if there was a marketing opportunity for you to extend the life.
I would love marketing. Yeah. Yes. Yes. But I love that I can maybe.
Yeah. Get her, so why don't you just give her a free gift, have her email you when she does the thing so you can celebrate.
Yeah.
Give her a freebie and then put her on your list. Okay. Say, hey, I'm just going to add you to my list because I love you and we want to stay in touch. That's but true, you need to know, because if Susan comes back to you next week and says, oh, I want to hire you for this, you have to be able to say you can't yet.
You can't until you're done with your blah, blah,
you
blah.
You need to know that.
Correct. Got it.
But then you also need to know when Susan can hire you, and then you email her back and be, by the way.
Oh, that's so good. So good. Okay, perfect. Yay. Yay, yay, yay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So try all that stuff.
Okay.
Re-listen to this if you need to get the specifics.
Yes, I shall.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Good job. Okay. So your second question, really quick.
Yeah.
You wrote, I need some thoughts, reframes. It's work, challenging family issues and self-care, connecting on Zoom. You're making efforts to build community where you're living. Mm-hmm. None of your efforts feel like they're paying off. They're taking a lot of energy. Are you talking about like friends and
yes. I'm looking for like a spiritual home. I'm looking to build friends. I'm looking to find hobbies. And I'm like, I have this much energy left. And so when mm-hmm. I go and try something and it doesn't work, I'm like, I'm gonna lay in bed. I don't know what else to do now. So yes, I know this is mindset and I need a little help with it.
Yeah. What are you telling yourself when something you try doesn't lead to anything?
This is horrible. It'll never work. I don't have the energy. What am I going to do? This sucks. I'll be like this forever. All kinds of that whole lie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's a, not the opposite story, just what's a more neutral story?
That I need help with the neutral story. I'm asking and my brain is like silent and I'm like, okay, brain, thanks. What is the neutral, the middle ground?
Yeah.
Oh, what is the middle ground?
What do we know is factual? How do we make this story less dramatic and more boring? Well, I tried something.
I did try something.
That didn't pan out.
Didn't.
But that doesn't mean the next thing I try won't.
Oh. I have to write that down.
That's a boring story for you.
No, but it's quiet and powerful. It's like,
it's true. It's powerful because that's the facts, ma'am.
Facts. Can you say it again? I would like to write it down. I will re-listen to this. Tell me again. I tried something.
That didn't pan out.
Didn't pan out. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the next thing I try won't work.
Hmm.
It might.
I'm writing.
Now, I love that you wrote that down. This is for everybody listening. Because like Karen Eileen said, when she flops in bed and her brain just like, no, it's dramatic and horrible. You can get that piece of paper out and read it.
I'm going
to
do it.
If your mind can't be dragged to neutral, you force it to read the neutral.
I mean, this is a silly question as I ask it, but I need to ask it anyway. Mm-hmm. So you, Christine Aller, from where you're sitting, you are telling me that you know that if I take a bunch of action, eventually something's going to work. Is that what I'm hearing? Because I have to tell you, like, I've tried a series of things. Not one of them is a match.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just read this story about this author who has this wildly successful book and it was rejected 98 times. And I was like, what?
Oh, I love that so much.
If you want,
I mean, I don't love that they, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You try it until, you just try until.
Oh God.
And I'm not saying you don't try the same thing. You don't bang your head against the wall, but you try something and you try something else. She wasn't submitting to the same person and rejected by the same person 98 times.
Right.
That's insanity. But she tried many, 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 many.
And so the place to find the, like, I don't know if it has to be joy, but the like hopefulness in the trying the 98 times is one of these is going to work. Is that it? One of these has to work. One of these, I mean, is it, well, is that the mantra? Published. Because, say it again.
Well, my mantra, what else are you going to do? Just sit in your bed for the rest of your life? Like, what else? I'm trying to build something right now. Mm-hmm. In a segment of the industry Nobody knows who I am. It's almost like I haven't even done anything for 20 years.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm doing things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to work, but I'm trying all this stuff, doing the, and it's like, what else am I going to do for the rest of my life? This is what I'd
like. Are you saying to yourself? Is it like, yay me, I tried thing number 34? Like, is it that? Or
yeah, this is going to work. I'm saying to myself, this is going to work. It's a good idea. I'm capable of doing it. There is a need. It all makes sense. This is going to work.
Okay. I'm writing that down too. I like
for
that
you, there's people out there who want friends. You're a fascinating person, just lovely and bubbly and have so much to give. You're going to find a person. Okay. It's sort of like if you wanted to get into a relationship with someone.
Yeah.
Like you got to believe there's somebody out there. If you don't believe there's somebody out there, then what?
Yes.
And what are you going to do? Date four people and then be like, well, pick the best of the four? No.
Can I tell you, like in my 20s, I did that. So yeah.
I know. It didn't work.
Didn't work.
To your
well.
Satisfaction. Mm-mm.
Correct. Yeah. So
if you want that kind of relationship, you try until you get it or you die. What else are we doing here on earth? Like, I don't know. You just keep.
Well, and this is so funny because again, this is so quiet, like very simple. This is going to work. That I'm going to print that out too, because I think the old horrible story is like, I'm trying things and it didn't work because this is never going to work. I feel like that's the old story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Done.
Yeah.
Good. Yes. Very good.
And when our soul speaks to us, and what I mean by that is when we think things and it's like, oh, that feels true and right. Those thoughts, those statements, whether we feel we're thinking them ourselves or we're hearing them as a download or from some other source.
Yeah.
They're boring. They're quiet. They're short little statements.
Teeny tiny.
If your mind is talking to you in paragraphs, that's your lizard
and
it, right
and
there.
In fireworks, in fireworks and parades and like, yeah. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The whispers, the quiet, does anyone need to say more than this is going to work?
That's just so good.
I believe that.
Oh, going to practice that so much this week. That's so good. Okay. Yeah. That's the teeny little piece.
And because what else are you going to do while you're here, except try to do what you want to do and have the life that you want?
Yeah.
And you may not get it, but you try and then your life ends. That is the human life. Like what? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Good things. So many good things. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Right. Anu. Thank you, Karen, Eileen. Hello. Anu is a cash flow tiger. She is a performer and she also does facilitation and consulting and civic and community engagements and arts and culture in organizing, as organizing, not professional organizing. So victories, you wrote, I just performed a movement piece and just performed a song I wrote as part of the performance project that you're building. First time in a while, I've been creating with such joy and passion and presence, such a gift. And I'm inviting collaborators who are so wonderful to work with. Congratulations. I'm happy you are feeling that. And so I love this question. I was like, oh, this is exciting. Okay. So you were asked to do a facilitation job in New York for 6 to 7 weeks this fall. It would be at least $20,000, but I would have to secure my own housing. They would pay for travel within New York because you'd be going around to different places in New York. It would be exactly within my wheelhouse of conversations with community-based artists and their organizations, a series of like 8 sessions across the state. It would be a significant notch in my resume for this kind of work. But to be away for that length of time, I'm concerned as to whether or not it would be financially worth it. And I'm wanting to focus on my writing and continue to build relationships in LA. Okay, so this is a great example of the thing you really have to look at when evaluating opportunities like this. Because at first glance, to everyone's ears who's hearing this, they're like, oh, $20,000. Yeah. And it's like, okay, $20,000 seems like a lot of money. But then you have to go, okay, well, what would that cover? Now, even if it was 6 weeks and not 7 weeks, if it's 6 weeks, it's a little over $3,000 a week. And out of that 3,000, you would need to house yourself, feed yourself. And I'm assuming your travel to New York and back from New York, you'd need to cover as well, right? So when you think about the costs that you would need to cover, the question is, does the amount of money they're paying me, am I going to get a net profit out of this? Am I going to profit and have like extra money at the end of this? Or is the amount of money they're paying me basically enough to just afford the opportunity? Like for $20,000, I could afford to go and spend all this time in New York and do all these things and come back kind of like, and it wouldn't have cost me anything. There's no net profit necessarily, or a very small net profit, but I can afford to do that opportunity. So I really want everyone listening to understand that when you get a chunk of money, like, oh, of course, my question is that enough to give you a profit? Or is it enough just to afford the whole opportunity? And then the question is, okay, well, do you want to do the opportunity? Or do you need to earn a profit? Like, where does the money kind of play? But I don't want folks to get hung up on like $20,000. Of course, you've got to say yes. I'm like, what? That all depends. It all depends. And it also depends on, like, you know, if you can get housing, then you're going to have more of a net profit. But if you can't, then you won't. Like, there's factors. So there's that factor. But with you specifically, Anu, there's also the factor of like, oh, how does this feed into what I'm actually trying to do? Because yes, you could do this. Of course, it would be great for your resume. It'll be a wonderful experience because anything you do becomes a wonderful experience. So that's not even a criteria. If you stay in LA, you'll have a wonderful experience. If you go to New York and do this, you'll have a wonderful experience. So that's not a criteria. It's more like, do you need to do this to further your career in the direction you want to go? Like, what are you focused on doing and how would this help you move in that direction? And maybe it doesn't help you move in that direction, but maybe you just fucking want to do it anyway because it sounds fun. That's okay. Everything doesn't have to move you in your, sometimes opportunities come and you're like, oh, no, I'm just doing that because that sounds fun. Even if I don't make a dime, I won't lose any money. It won't cost me anything. So where are you at with it?
Well, so there's also another, what's also come up is another facilitation gig that would also be on the East Coast, October 15th and 16th. And it would require me having to put together a package of like a resume. I mean, it's interesting that I'm being invited to do this. I do it, but it's not like I've put out the call that I'm doing this. I just have been doing it. And it's not like on my, it's not like on my website or anything. So that is also something. So if I did that and this, then I think, and I have a few places that I could actually stay with friends and stuff for chunks of time. I think it's just that. So I did the numbers of like, you know, if I take away the taxes and then I take away like, a significant amount of like realistically with moving around, your costs are going to rise, even if you're not paying for your housing. So with that in mind, I still would net a profit that would then I could then use to cover like at least a couple months of not having to work on other gigs and to focus on writing. And I don't know, it's kind of like hosting tea parties throughout New York, because sounds so fun and easy. And then also I'd be connecting with the public theater a little bit there. They have an artist in residence at the public theater as well. And I know someone there. And so it would be a way to be closer to then also be able to see some shows, and then also connect with some artists and folks that might be interested in supporting my work. But I think what's hard is that I really want to build connections where I am and grow and nurture friendships and community here. There's some things I do need to tend to, and I've been zigzagging so much that I haven't really tended to them. I want to do a concert of the songs, and I think I've found a collaborator that would be able to arrange music for it. And we could do it in my friend's backyard. And anyway, yeah. And I'm making like two music videos too. One would be a good work sample for the larger project. So it'd be hard to be, you know, it sucks to be away from my partner that long, but I could do it. He'd come up. He said he'd come, for a while. So I think it's also, there was a period that I was like homeless. And staying in different people's houses out of the goodness of their heart, this definitely brings back memories of when I had to do that. And I hated that feeling of always having to be like, yeah, I want to have my own place and grow that. And have more money and be able to be where I am and not have to just like hustle as hard as I have. Yeah.
And so if you pass on this activity, on these opportunities, the two of them, or just the one of them, because you could still do the October 15th, 16th, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you pass on the large opportunity, what would your rest of the year look like instead?
Probably by in the next couple of months, I'd want to start thinking about, a few gigs. Mm-hmm. And that if I didn't do this one, it feels like it would be a bit of a hardcore hustle, just like all over. But if I didn't do it, they said, we'd love to consider you for there's definitely going to be other kinds of opportunities, not like as big as this, but maybe one-offs or just some kind of virtual consulting, something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like really cool and also a slog, just as far as like seeing myself carrying my suitcase. Yeah. All these places for, that long.
And how does that, the big project, the $18,000 project that we've been talking about, like, what's the timeline for that right now?
The timeline for what part of it, like me being able to use the money to like do the stuff or?
Yeah, like, aren't you going to use
I haven't even dipped into it yet. I haven't even dipped into it yet.
So you still have runway as far as...
Yeah, that's the runway that I have is that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you do have that runway through the summer and the fall.
Yeah.
Even if you don't do this New York thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to be able... I was thinking of what you said about, like, at least half. To me,
yeah,
the 18. So I was counting on that. Yes. And I would like to reserve the other to be able to like pay other people and like produce some things, you know? But yeah, with that in mind, yeah. And I can put together a proposal. And I know some funders who I think would really get a kick out of talking to me about the work that I'm trying to do. And I have a fiscal sponsor of an organization as well that I'd be aligning with. And I just feel like, oh, right. And then there's another thing they just got funding for that they're going to pay me for another 5K for like doing some workshops, right in alignment with the performance project that I want to do. So,
yeah. What you're experiencing now is the rest of your life, is the rest of your career. Opportunities.
How do you know that?
Huh?
How do you know that? Because it's true.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Because it's happening.
Yeah.
I'm not interpreting like the future. No. I'm reading the tea leaves of what's right in front of me.
Yeah.
Ever since I've known you, you've been like, I want to stay here in LA. I want to do this stuff. I want to put down some roots. I'm like, great. You have this opportunity, this money. These people, even if you say no to them, they're like, oh, we still want to use you. These two New York things just fell into your lap based on whatever, but it's not even like you're advertising or trying to get people to, and which means to me, you have built relationships. You have proven your excellence because people are now keeping you. You are in people's minds. They're thinking about you. They can't do that unless you've built a reputation over the past years. So if you just keep doing and doing your art and interfacing with people, they're going to keep thinking about you and going, hey, you want to do this? Hey, you want to do this? That's how it's going to, why would it stop?
Mm-hmm.
You're a great person. They share your interest in the type of work you want to do. So they're going to keep you in mind because you're already in their mind. Why would it stop? Don't murder anybody. That could stop it. You know, but I don't foresee you doing that. So you have, the wheel is starting to turn for you. The hardest part, Anu, is getting the wheels starting to turn.
Yeah.
But that's what you've accomplished.
Yeah.
In your last decade of, or more of work. But you have to acknowledge, oh, I'm in a new phase. The wheel is starting to turn because people are thinking of me and offering me things. I'm not even like going after it and applying for it. Like it's just being offered. And then if I turn it down, they're like, great, we'll just keep you in mind for other things. That is a signifier of the wheel being turned. And if a wheel that's heavy, called a flywheel, if you're in Jim Collins's language, but once that big heavy wheel starts turning, it gathers its own momentum and it keeps turning unless someone physically stops it. Like you murder someone and people are like, maybe we don't work with her, you know? Otherwise the wheel, if you just, you know, keep doing your stuff as excellent as you've been doing it in the past, it should keep turning. And you've got to, a lot of my job as a coach is identifying for people where they're at in their career of like, no, you're actually here. You think you're way back here, but you're not. So let's trust where you are. Let's acknowledge who you've become. Let's own some of that. Because your life now is going to just be, which of these opportunities do I want to take? And you won't be able to take them all. But if you keep doing great work and keep meeting more people and more people keep you in mind, you're only going to get more opportunities. So you're only going to have to make more of these kinds of decisions. And mostly they're going to come down to, well, which of these multiple opportunities really feed into my focus? which is creating the texture that I'm trying to create in my life, which is not the nomadic texture. You're in a season of rooting. It sounds to me like you're in a season of rooting. So then you have to evaluate these opportunities of like, which feeds into the texture of rooting and community that I'm trying to build for me rather than servicing other people's community, and which kind of feel more nomadic, the past, like, and start evaluating, not even on money, but on the texture of life that they're helping you build. Because you're sitting on an $18,000 opportunity, a $20,000 opportunity just came your way, a 5K opportunity. It's like, the stuff comes for you. I have to trust that too. It's like, okay, this seems to be like when one opportunity goes away, another one comes. And I'm saying that to you knowing that you're also a person who's, you know, making sure her bank account doesn't get too low, and you're willing to go get a job or do other work or proactively go after gigs should you need to supplement. If you are a person who is willing to do make that effort, then you can start trusting that the universe is working with you on that. Like, okay, if I don't have an opportunity, I will go do something, but I'm going to trust that I don't have to grind through my life anymore because I built a reputation and I have a body of work and I have a lot of people who like me. So with all that, how are you feeling now about the choice?
I feel like it's like what you're doing is like, you're kind of coaxing. It's like, I have this like blankie that's been like, it's like, I've had it so long that it's like kind of shredded, and you're like gently like, I don't know if you do you need the blankie anymore? Maybe you can be just as comfortable temperature wise in your own skin. You know, like, so I think
that was powerfully put. Wow. That was beautiful.
And just that, you know, you're saying what you're doing as a coach is kind of, you're seeing the information that people are giving you and they're thinking, but you're also seeing their fears or their struggles, and you're kind of lifting up their thinking to hand back to them to say, you do get to trust yourself, you know, and you don't have, you may not have to make decisions based on fear, you know, like that gets to be a choice, not like, out of, well, it's like shift out of survival mode. We've been there, but we can be somewhere else, even if things might feel like they're in crisis. We don't have to be in here, you know?
So
that's what it's reminding me of, what you're saying. And so it's like, oh yeah, that's true. Like, I have figured things out. If I say no to that gig, it doesn't mean it's the last opportunity for me, nor the only one.
And the most important part isn't, here's what I'm also thinking as a coach, because most of the time, unless it's like, do not take that choice. Like, most of the time, the choices my clients like you have are like good and good. So I'm really not concerned. Like, if you came back and was like, I decided to go to New York, I'm like, great, go have a great time. What I'm concerned is getting my clients to a point where once they've made a decision, whether it's New York or staying in LA, then you go full force with joy with the decision you made. And you don't sit there for the rest of the fall going, should I have gone to New York? Should I have gone to New York? Oh, this thing happened in LA. That means I should have gone to New York. No, it doesn't. Once you've made your choice, go forward and enjoy the fruits of that choice. If you FOMO the next 3 months in LA, you might as well have gone to New York and got the cash. If you're going to make yourself miserable in LA, then go do the thing in New York. But if you do decide to stay in LA, have a ball, enjoy it, and just close that door on New York and bless whoever's going to get to do it. And yeah, move on. Yeah. So that's what's most important. I don't care which choice you make. I care that you just make it and then go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have another question for you. Mm-hmm. And you might have a short, pithy answer for this. It's a mindset question. And I noticed this coming up. It comes up for me sometimes when I perform. And I performed this song. And the feeling that I had was, the thought that occurred to me was, oh, I'm noticing this fear come up and that I'm afraid of my own power. That feeling come up. And I was curious if you might, meaning when you can, when you impact people, when you move people, when you can tell your significance, you know? And I think, I feel like maybe all of us in different ways got these messages that it's like better or worse, superior, inferior, like in this like kind of false paradigm, you know? But that being able to move people and impact people doesn't mean you're less or better or different or special. It just means that there's something that you are doing and you get to do. You know what I mean? In a positive way. Mm-hmm. And so I was just curious, your thoughts on kind of that, you know, because I'm sure a lot of people have come up against that and shared that as clients too.
Yeah. And when you get popular or when your artistic stuff strikes a nerve that's like bigger than the effort it takes you to do it. I mean, there are songs out there that people come to songwriters or the artists that perform the songs and they're like, this song like got me through the death of my child. And they wrote that song in 10 minutes. And the effort it took to do that, they're just like, well, and they're getting millions of dollars for the song that took them 10 minutes to write and that changes people's lives. That's a hard thing to find your, adjust all the dials in you around, because we're taught, especially in America, effort. You should put forth, if you're going to get this much out of that, this much popularity, fame, money, then you should be working really hard for it. That's not how life works though. So what I have found for me and for other clients to sort of ground yourself around the impact of your artistic gifts is to remind yourself that you're the vessel. And it's your job to take care of the vessel so that the spirit or whatever you want to call it can work through you. And when someone comes to you complimenting you, because what often happens is people get compliments and they're feeling like, well, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it's causing this other person's coming to you and giving you a compliment because they are overflowing with emotion and they want to put it somewhere. And it feels really good to put it into the person that they are identifying it with as the cause. And, but it can be hard to take the compliment. And so people deflect or make it awkward or, but it's not, compliments are not really about you. What you can take ownership of is, yeah, you anew have done the work to keep your little doors open to the spirit. I'm putting my hands on top of my head and then opening them up like a little trap door. Your work is to keep that door open, which means you practice your craft, you get sleep, you take care of your body, you keep those doors open, you reflect, you have quiet time, you have creative time, you keep those doors open. You don't buffer with alcohol and things that keep those doors closed, you know? You just do the work to keep the doors open so that whatever comes through is just what's meant to come through. So when someone goes, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, thank you, or you are just sensing an audience vibrate with your performance, you're like, this is, it's amazing to be a vessel for this. And my job right now is to be able to handle the channeling of this energy, to let it come from them to me, and then from me back at them, and then from them back to me. Just keep the loop open. That's my job. Instead of shutting myself down with fear and the insecurity and start thinking like this is too big and close those doors. Like, no, that's your job, is to keep the door open. It's a harder job than people think. But because the door is open, you were able to write the song in 10 minutes and allowed you to be the vessel for the performance of it. But that's just what you are, is a vessel. You're not a genius. I'm a genius. That's so smart. It's like, no, you're worthy and available and well-honed and finely tuned vessel. Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And your job is to protect the vessel so it can do its wonderful work here on earth. Because I think my little story, I think that's what the universe is doing. It's looking around for the available vessels to put ideas into and things that will help us all. But the vessel has to be available. And sometimes artists are like shutting the doors, like, I got to just, I don't want to handle the energy. I don't want new ideas. That's fine. That's fine. Because those people usually come back and open the doors at some other point. It's okay to close the doors. But that's what the, oh my God, you're so amazing. If you translate that in your head of like, I'm so amazing that I'm able to keep my doors open the majority of the time. Yeah, that's an amazing thing. My work, just the vessel for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks, Christine.
Yeah. And there are so many talented people. There are way more talented people in the world than are actually exercising their talent. For every amazing artist, there's 10 amazing, amazing artists that are just not doing their craft or just not able to be that in the world, to be the vessel for that. Talent, it's like we all have it and we all could cultivate it. It's not that special. But if you would like to have this exchange with the world, with your gifts, and which you do, your next phase of expansion and evolution is to be able to handle these moments where it feels much bigger than you. It's like, that's okay. It's safe. You have to also work on yourself so that you feel safe in those moments. Because if you don't feel safe, you'll shut the doors, you'll collapse in on yourself, and it'll all become very strange and weird. So it's a normal thing. It's just a very elevated level of energy. And you want to make yourself able to handle it. The more, the bigger, only as big as you want. But when you see someone like Adele or Beyonce, like people are literally worshiping this woman, you know, like they are, but she is able to hold that energy she's getting back from a Taylor Swift. The reason Taylor Swift is able to be Taylor Swift is because she is able to hold that amount of energy and find and stay her, keep her center as a person, or she would have been like dead with drugs a long time ago. Like, cause she has adulation. She has the ears and eyes and a lot of power within her industry. Like it, but she was born and was nurtured and parented and just wired to be able to handle that. And it's a beautiful thing to watch someone able to make that joyful and not weird. Mm-hmm. Gurus and weirdo people make it weird and gross. Artists who are able to be the vessel and do their inner work to handle that energy, make it beautiful. And that's who you, Anu, have the potential to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that you're noticing like, oh, whoa, whoa, this feels so, it feels weird. So figure out what you need to do to make it safe so that you can get used to it so mm-hmm. that then it's natural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the progression. Safe feels good and fun. And now that's just normal. You can do that. I'm thrilled you're having these experiences. I'm thrilled your work is touching people in a way where you can really feel it happening in the room. What a blessing to have that experience. Even once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I look forward to hearing what you decide to do with all your opportunities. And I'm opening the floor to anybody else, if anybody else has questions, including the two people I just talked to. The floor is open. We have time. Tricia?
I'm not naked. I have a towel on. So I did the about.me page today, and I re-listened to the recording from last week and wrote 60 potential friends/acquaintances to email. I did not actually send out an email yet, but I really feel like tomorrow's the day. I wanted to ask you, because I haven't done this before, but because Zoom became such a thing with the pandemic, should I offer a Zoom option if somebody wanted to do the 6-week burst, 2 sessions a week over Zoom? Should I offer like a discounted rate? And if so, what might that look like?
Oh my God, I'm so glad you asked this question. So there's two parts to the question.
Okay.
We'll do the second part first. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hear nothing else today, please do not discount your services just because you do them over Zoom. I don't care. They're paying you for your brain. They're paying you for your bandwidth. They're paying you for taking your attention off of your life and putting it onto them. Whether you do that on Zoom, on a telephone call, or in person, it takes your energy. In fact, as a coach, it takes more energy to coach over Zoom than in person. I would love to coach in person 100% of the time because it's so much easier, especially with groups. So pay me more because I'm on Zoom because I'm working harder, you know. So the delivery method, even the amount of time it takes you to deliver it. Like I just talked to Karen Eileen and Anu for like a half hour-ish each. Now let's say they had paid for an hour because that's the container I have. And usually on my website, it says our sessions are up to 60 minutes because if they're complete and I'm complete and they've got what they needed in a half hour, that should be a bonus. Now they get to go have a half hour doing whatever they want. They don't have to spend it with me. Like time is not what they're paying for. They're paying for your brain and your experience and all that good stuff. Okay. So that's for everybody. Oh my gosh. Okay, great. But I'm glad you asked that question because that's an important point. So then the second part of this is like, do you want to do it over Zoom?
I mean, that's not my preference for the same reason. Like there are some people who don't have the body awareness. Like I can see over the camera that, I can tell them shoulder blades down and, you know, zip up your abs or bring your belly button up and in, and it like just doesn't compute. So with those people, it would not be ideal. But if it were somebody who had experience working out and had good body awareness, then it would be fine for me. Yeah.
Okay. Then you might just put something like, you know, you can just put it as something like an after, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. If you could only do this via Zoom, we might be able to arrange that. So it's like letting them know it's an option, but it's not like an option. Like, gotcha. Easy, do it over Zoom, do it in person, whichever you want. And that's not that. It's like, if you live out of state, if you're very body, like, there's things. Mm-hmm. And maybe someone is like, oh, I really want to do it over Zoom. And you either have the hunch, or after the first session, you're like, we have to meet in person because I have to touch you before you can do this yourself. If, like, let's say I just contacted you, I'm like, oh, can we just do it over Zoom? Then you would say back to me, well, here's the thing. Let me explain, blah, blah, blah. There's no use in you exercising if you're doing it the proper form, because then you're just building habits. So we can do one of two things. We can have our first session together in person, and I can really see where you're at, and, you know, and then maybe we can continue on in Zoom. Maybe we need another session in person for you to really feel it. Or maybe it needs to be like in person, a couple Zoom, in person again, a couple more Zoom. Or we can try our first one over Zoom, but I might say, you know what, we do need to meet in person for the second. So you can always say up front, like, here's the thing, because clients are hiring you as the leader. Like, I'm giving you the big bucks because I expect you to know how I should do this best. And they're pretty much inclined to be like, oh, well, okay, as long as you explain why you've just made your decisions the way you've made your decisions. It's sort of like people who I've never worked with before. And they're like, I just want to work with you for an hour. I'm like, it's not going to work. We're going to need at least 90 minutes. And that's even short, you know, like, I can't change your life in 90 minutes. But so stand firm in how you know what's best for the client. And occasionally, but if you're firm, most people will be glad you're leading them. But occasionally, I've experienced this in coaching and in organizing, you'll get a client who wants to be the leader. Uh-huh. It's like, then you can decide, do you want to work with them? Like, they're paying you, like, let them lean. You could do that. I've done that sometimes. And then other times I'm like, okay, this isn't actually, you're not part of this is you now allowing someone to lead you. And, uh-huh. You know, soften your shoulders and let go of control. We can work on that, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Or you can just say, no, we're not a good fit. So I wouldn't worry about that. Okay. I would stand firm in the way you want to work and the way you know it works best, and get your good matching clients to that.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. That's helpful.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to ask is, I'm a coach as well as a trainer, and some of the friends that I'll be emailing will know that. Am I saying in the PS the thing about I'm also a coach, or should I just not muddy the thing and be like, this is about trying to find these 6-week burst clients?
Yeah, just do that.
Okay.
Because here's why. It is hard enough to get somebody's attention.
Yeah.
And it is really even harder when you have their attention to get them to take an action, like clicking a link. So you don't want to split their attention of like, oh, do I want to like the coach thing or the thing?
Right. No.
Okay. Because you'll be able to, probably some of these clients might turn into coaching clients, and some of your coaching clients might turn in, but you can deal with that secondarily. Yeah. Just one thing.
Yeah. Definitely. Thank you.
Marketing should be like to a 2-year-old.
Okay.
Just pick up, like, where are your shoes? That's the only thing we're working on right now. It's where are your shoes?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good questions. Really good questions. You're welcome. Good to see you.
You too.
Anybody else? Any other questions for today? Do you feel complete? Anu, is that, did you want to ask something? You're just popping on. Okay. Do we feel complete, everybody, for today? All right. Lovely, lovely, lovely. So this is July 16th. The next time I see you, August 6th. So go work on the businesses. Trisha will have sent 60 emails. Yay! I sent so many emails, cold emails to people who do not know me, that Google was like, you are sending too many emails. And I'm like, oh, oops, I will stop that for a few days. And then I will, because I was just like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, now I'm going to do 30 a day, but sprinkle them throughout the day. I have alarms where it's like, oh, time to send two emails with the same subject line. Because I think it was a subject line. They were just like, what are you doing? And I'm like, but I'm sending out to this database of people, not my database, but I'm pulling them from the internet and make my own spreadsheet. But I just looked to see like, because the account I have, you can send up like 2,000 emails a day. And I was like, perfect, not a problem. Boom, 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 boom. But I think if they all have the same subject line, that's a good thing. So I got slapped.
I'm so impressed that you're sending out that volume of emails.
Oh yeah. Like I want to say this little thing. I just remembered something I wanted to say when I was talking to Anu. I never give you any coaching that I haven't like done before. I'm never going to be like, you should send a lot of emails and be like, I've never done that before. Yeah. I offered this year-long program and it was like the biggest thing, the most expensive kind of thing. In a way, it wasn't the most expensive thing, but it was, you know, hefty. And I was renting this place for, it had a retreat involved. And it was just like, oh, and I was sweating because you have to put the deposit down on the retreat thing. So if I didn't sell enough seats to cover like the cost, and I broke even, by the way, didn't make any money. I learned a lot of stuff, but I was like, I have to fill this. And I sat down and sent 800 individual emails. Everyone on my list, I didn't send it out like through MailChimp. I set, because individual emails hit better, land better in people's inboxes. Yep. Just sat there. I'm like, oh, please, dear Jesus, may two of you of these 800 people. And that's how I got the last two seats filled. So it's like, you gotta just, do you want it? You got to do the work. You just do it, you know? And I am trying to build something now and I need just awareness. And this is one of the different paths I'm taking to get awareness. And it's a very particular group of people that are very well-connected people. And there's a lot of them. And I have credibility with this group. So I'm just like, well, everybody's getting an email because then at least you all have heard about it so that when you hear about me again, it's not that I expect, this is the other thing, your expectations need to be real nice and low. It's not that I expect these people to be like, oh, I'm suddenly going to refer a bunch of people to you. I'm like, no, but if, and there's probably like 2,000 people in this database. So I'm like, okay, if 2,000 people even kind of maybe remember that they've heard this before and they hear about me again on a podcast from something else, they read an article, they're like, oh, so she wasn't crazy. That's when I have them. This is like the first thing. And I'm doing it because I can, like I have access to that information. I have credibility within this group. So it's a worthwhile expenditure of my time. And I'm paying people to also scrape these emails and websites and stuff into my database. You know, so this is costing me money. It's like marketing. And I don't think any of this is actually going to lead to any direct hits, but it's sort of like the long game of like, okay, but when I start doing the other stuff I'm going to be doing, if you can hear me from a few other sources, then maybe you'll be like, oh, okay, she's not crazy. So I'm here, guys, doing the work. When I leave you for 2 weeks, I'm just building my business over here, doing the same thing. And I'm doing this I have the muscles that I've built over 20 years, but I don't have any reputation in this area. People don't really know me. I'm having to make my own contacts. I'm literally starting from scratch. So I'm feeling all your pain and all your tears. It's all happening here as well. And that's why I can show up here and be very, very like, yeah, you got to do the hard stuff. You got to slog through the oatmeal. It's just how it works. And what I wanted to say with Anu is that one of the ways you can tell somebody is a good coach, one of the variables, is when you see them work with people, you're hearing them give very personalized guidance to that particular person's situation. Because Anu and Karen Eileen are in two very different situations, just even the circumstances of their life are very different. And the stuff that I was saying to Anu and speaking to her about what she's going through now, that doesn't apply to Karen Eileen. And some of the stuff that I was saying to Karen Eileen doesn't apply to Anu's situation at all. And that is good to hear a coach be specific, because the hallmark of someone who's gone through like a weekend certification program, or they're just starting, and it's not bad. Everyone has to start. But what you don't want to hear is what I wasn't doing with Anu is just being like, you're amazing and your career is on the upswing and it's just going to keep working. Like, don't worry. You've got to trust that you're a vessel. And like, that's not what I was, because if that's my line, then I would have been saying that to Karen Eileen as well. Karen Eileen, you're amazing. And like, everything's working out now. Just trust. It's like, it doesn't apply. I mean, in general, yes, it's working for Karen Eileen as well. And she should trust, but she needs to hear it a different way. And it's not going to, that generalized guidance isn't going to help her without some specifics relating to her circumstances. And same with Anu. So always be attentive. Is like, there's not just like six pieces of advice that are just being slapped onto everybody. And that's how you can tell when a coach says something like, no, you should trust this. This is the pattern I'm seeing from having talked to you multiple times, by the way, you know, to see a pattern that. Then you can trust when someone says, no, 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 this is good. Like, you can trust this. Yeah. So that's just something to like attune your ears to. Cause I listen to a lot of coaching and I listen to a lot of therapists work on podcasts and different things. And I've been doing this for years and years and years. And I'm very attuned to where I'm like, oh, that's bullshit. Like, you're just blowing smoke up that person's ass. Because you don't actually know what to say to them. You just want them to go away happy. I'm like, it's not the point. Not the point. So anyway, off my soapbox. But thanks for listening. You guys are amazing.
Interesting.
That is all true. Because you're here. You're smart. Good to see you, Caroline. Good to see you, Helen. Take good care.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.